From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome once again to the program. I'm glad you're tuning in and joining us, and I do hope that you'll stay with us for the next quarter hour. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake, and it'll be our privilege and great joy to help you in any way we can from God's Word concerning spiritual matters. If you're unsaved and you would like to know more of the way of salvation, then do please make contact with us. If you're already a believer, trusting only in Christ for salvation, but you may lack assurance, there may be other spiritual problems that you face, then if we can help you, we'll be glad to do so. So do make contact with us this week by writing to us at the mailing address, which is coming up at the end of the program. And now here to Let the Bible Speak today is the Reverend John Greer.
We are delighted to have you listening in to this another gospel program. And we trust that you will do so every week at this same time and hear God's word to your heart. In Acts chapter 17 and the verse number 18, at the close of that verse we have these words: He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. The reference is to Paul's ministry in the city of Athens, a ministry that he carried out while he was what you might call in a waiting mode. He was waiting for his companions to come to him to bring him news from Thessalonica, where he had been preaching and from which he had to flee for his life. As he waited in Athens, he preached the gospel. We would not expect anything else of the Apostle Paul. Such was his burden and his concern for the souls of men that he wasted no time, but rather he took every opportunity to preach the gospel of the Lord. And this is what he preached. He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Those who heard him thought this was something very, very strange. They actually used that kind of language. They classified what he preached as being strange. They also referred to it as some new doctrine. Verse 19 it says, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is." We're told that these Athenians were a very curious kind of people. It says in verse 21, "The Athenians spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." The word for new in that verse refers to something that is completely new, altogether new. It's a reference to that which has never been heard before, never been known before. And these Athenians spent their lives trying to pick up some kind of information of that nature, something that was completely and absolutely new. And therefore, they refer to Paul's preaching in verse 19 as new doctrine. And they classify what he had to say as being that which had never been heard before in this world. That's an amazing thought, that people would think that way about the gospel, and yet they do. When men hear the gospel, when they hear about being born again or being redeemed by the blood of Jesus, when they hear about being saved, they will even say, "This is new. This is something different. This is strange." That's the way people react to the gospel. And we, in our day and generation, that reaction is still found and still known by or still expressed by many people. And of course, it is very tragic that they think that way and that they believe that way. And yet that's the case. Someone comes along, maybe holds a gospel mission or stands up in his own pulpit and he preaches that men need to be born again. And people will say, "This is new. This has never been preached before. This is something entirely different." And yet all the while, it is the old, old story of Jesus and his love. It is not new. It is something that has been around from the very beginning of time. In other words, the good news of the gospel is actually the oldest news in the world. When we consider the gospel that Paul preached, even though men classified it as being something altogether new, we go to our Bibles and we find that what Paul preached was what had been preached by men down from the very time that Adam fell into sin. Because as soon as Adam sinned, this same message of Christ and the resurrection was proclaimed. It was God himself who was the preacher. He came to Adam in the garden where he had fallen into sin, where he had disobeyed. And he told Adam about the seed of the woman, about a redeemer who would come and who would deliver men from their sin, who would defeat the devil, and who would bring in salvation from the fall and from the sinful state into which man had been plunged by his disobedience. It was the first gospel promise, therefore, that was heard by Adam there in the garden. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. And encapsulated in that marvellous verse, there is the entire gospel of redemption, the entire message of grace. And I urge you today to consider very carefully what the Lord lays down in his word in terms of what has been there from the very beginning. The gospel is not new, my friend. The gospel is the oldest news in the world. It is certainly the good news, but it's the oldest news. People love to find some ancient thing. They like to hear of that which has been around for a while and maybe republish it and so forth, and that's fine. But here is the oldest news in the world. And it has been published and has been set forth by the Lord, not only by him personally, but through his servants, the prophets. In the Old Testament era, they all preached of Christ, they all pointed to Christ, they all spoke of man's sin and man's need and man's fallen condition. All of these great truths were set forth generation by generation, and therefore the good news that the Athenians thought was something entirely new was actually the oldest news in this world. And that news of the gospel continues to this very day. It is the greatest news in the world. It is the message that men can be saved from their sins and be delivered from their guilt and from all that comes upon them as a result of their fallen, their sinful state and their guiltiness before a holy God. In Athens, as Paul preached, and there were these reactions, Paul went on to show to his hearers that there was for them the solemn announcement that the Lord knew all about their sin and that there was a day coming when the judgment would take place. He says in verse number 31, he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. You see, Paul preached Christ and the resurrection. And of course, it was the resurrection of Christ first and foremost that he preached. And he also preached then of the resurrection of men. Because the verse I've just read, verse 31, reminds us of a day when the Lord will judge the world in righteousness. Now, that is still future. That day has not yet arrived. And yet, it says he will judge the world in righteousness. That's a reference to the world of humanity. It's a reference to the entire human race that will one day be called to give an account before God, to give a full answer for sin. And this is a most solemn, serious matter that we have in these words. That day is hastening on, that day when the Lord will come, when the affairs of this world will all be wound up and the great judgment will take place and sinners will appear before God and they will answer for their sin and they will give an account of their lives. I ask you today to consider that carefully. The Lord will raise men from their graves. their souls, which have been in eternity after death, will be reunited with those bodies. And every individual will stand before God. And the fact that that is going to happen is verified, guaranteed, by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. God raised Christ from the dead as the token that the day would come when he would raise all men from their graves and he would have them stand for judgment. Christ was raised from the dead as a result of his own blessed work for men on the cross. Paul says in Romans 4 and 25 that Christ was delivered for our offences and then raised again because of our justification. Christ on the cross secured the salvation of his people, their justification from sin, and then he was raised from the dead as the sign or the token that the work was finished and the atonement was complete and the justification of all those who would ever believe upon him and even had believed upon him prior to the cross was eternally secured. And therefore Christ rose from the dead for that reason. But he also rose from the dead as the indication that the day would come when he would be judge of all. The Lord gave his own dear Son, Jesus Christ, the authority to execute judgment. Because of his obedience, because of his suffering, he was rewarded with that great and glorious position of being the judge of all men. Now, Christ has risen from the dead. There's nothing more sure than this. Even secular historians of his own day verify that Jesus of Nazareth not only was crucified on a cross, but that he rose again from the dead. Josephus, one of the most honest and reliable Jewish historians, makes this clear in his writings. It's also, of course, in the Bible, and that's our final authority. But I'm simply saying to you that the Lord Jesus Christ did rise again from the dead. And therefore, the day will come when Christ will call all men to judgment, and they will give an account of their sin. And therefore, Paul preached in Athens, Jesus and the resurrection. I ask you today to consider that carefully. He preached on to them Jesus. That's the Saviour. The name means Saviour. He's able to save you from your sins, make you a new creature, deliver you by his mighty grace and his power. But you must trust him as your Saviour. You must come to him. This is not some new thing. All of those who are in heaven today have trusted Christ as their Saviour when they were on this earth. From Abel right down, the first man to die on the face of the earth, murdered by his own brother, and yet he died a Christian, he died a believer, he died resting in Jesus Christ and in the blood of Christ, and therefore he was saved. And from Abel onwards, right down through until this moment, and on through until the last soul is saved, there will not be a man in heaven except through the new birth and by the Saviour's blood. Make sure that you're in that company, and trust Christ as your Saviour.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's programme. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.